And looking at leadership this morning, I was going through researching some stuff, and I actually came across some sage advice for some cowboys to leaders. So I want to share this sage advice from cowboys to you this morning. The first one is this. Number one, good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. How many of you say amen to that? Number two, letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. Number three, if you're riding ahead of the herd, take a look back every now and then to make sure they're still there. Right, John Maxwell, one of my favorite quotes from John Maxwell is, if you're leading and no one's following, you're just going for a walk. Number four, if you get to thinking you're a person of some influence, try ordering someone else's dog around. Number five, after eating an entire bull, a mountain lion felt so good that he started roaring, and he kept it up until a hunter came along and shot him. And the moral of the story is this: when you're full of bull, be sure to keep your mouth shut. And finally, number six, never kick a cow chip on a hot day. Now, some of you may already be tuning me out because you might be thinking, well, this is a message for leaders, and I'm not really a leader. But remember, we say this all the time, we preach this all the time, that leadership is simply influence. And each one of you has influence over somebody somewhere at some point in your life, right? Every one of you has a platform today. In other words, there is somebody that you are influencing, whether you know it or not. So maybe we need to redefine leadership. Why? Because I am convinced that leadership is always a problem and leadership is always the answer. Think about all of the issues in the world. They all stem around leadership. Right? Nations starve because of poor leadership. And what do? We send them billions of dollars in aid, and it never seems to help. Why? Because the leadership is corrupt. I remember my last church, we sponsored for a hospital to be built in Nigeria. In this small village, it cost us $10,000. It was $4,000 to build the hospital and $6,000 to bribe the officials. So I believe this, that one of the greatest needs we have in our lives today is for leadership development. Because you are influencing someone in your life, you need to develop your own leadership. No matter what status you are in life, you should always be continuing to develop your leadership. You should want to grow in your leadership. You should want to get better as a leader. Why? Because God has delegated leadership, right? Leadership is simply influence. And He has delegated it to you. The Bible says that we are to be good stewards of our leadership, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul tells us that we are servants of Christ and we are stewards of the mystery of God. He goes on to tell us that stewards must be found faithful. That Greek word for steward means governor. It means manager. That Greek word for mystery, the word mysterio, it doesn't mean some secret that we can't know about. No, the word mystery means something that was once hidden but now has been revealed to us. And what Paul is saying here, when Paul is addressing the mystery of God, what he's talking about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, what Paul is saying is that we are managers, we are administrators, we are leaders in bringing the gospel to the world around us. It is our responsibility. So we need to understand that God is going to hold us accountable for our leadership. So please understand this, that leadership is always stewardship and you are always held accountable. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me into Malachi chapter 2. If you don't know where that's at, just turn to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Flip back one page, you'll be at Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. If you didn't bring your Bible today, the scriptures will be up on the screen. Of course, you can follow along there. but says this in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And now, you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this warning so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. And he walked with me in peace and in uprightness and turned many from sin. For the lips of the priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from this way. By your teaching, you have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant of Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law." Can we pray together this morning? Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for being in our life. Lord, we pray, Lord, your special blessings today, God, as we go through your word. God, I pray, Lord, you would illuminate truth in our lives. Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 2, God tells the priest, right, who are the leaders of that day, that they are to honor him. Today, I believe this as God's chosen people, right? As his royal priesthood, right? That's what Scripture calls us, his royal priesthood. I believe God is speaking to us about honoring him through our leadership. And if that is true, then we better know how to honor God in our leadership. So I want to share with you three principles today. Three principles that we need to understand if we're going to honor God. And the first principle is this, that if we're going to honor God with our leadership, we must understand the requirements of leadership. If we're going to honor God with our leadership, we have to understand the requirements of leadership. And there are quite a few. So the first one is this, is that God requires leaders to take a stand for what is right. God requires us to take a stand for what is right. Right, verses 4 and 5, God contrasts the corrupt priest of Malachi's time with that of the Levites. You see, in order to be a priest, you had to come from the tribe of Levi. You could not aspire to be the priest. You couldn't be called to be a priest. You were either born a priest or you were not born a priest. And the tribe of Levi, right, or the Levites as they were called, they were the descendants of Levi, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Now remember, way back in Exodus chapter 32, during the Israelites' sojourn out into the wilderness, right, Moses, he goes up on the mountaintop to meet with God. And while Moses is up on this mountaintop, the people began to grumble. They began to complain. And they began to go to Aaron. And they began to pressure Aaron into building them a golden calf for which they could worship. Aaron obliged, and he did that. And as Moses came down off the mountain, he noticed what was happening here. He noticed the people were worshiping this golden calf, that they were dancing around this golden calf in worship. And immediately, Moses got the attention of the people. And he told them whoever was on the Lord's side to come over to him. And the Levites came to his side. And they went throughout the camp and they destroyed those who were worshiping the idols. And because of their zeal to honor God, Moses in Exodus 32 pronounced a blessing on them that they would always teach God's people his ordinances. Now jump up a couple books to the book of Numbers. We have this scene where many of the Israelite men, they begin to marry the godless Moabite women. Something for which God had forbade. God said, you are not to marry the Moabites, and they were doing it anyways. And not only do they marry the Moabite women, but they began to worship the Moabite idols. Well, the Lord had a word for them, and the Israelites turned back in repentance. But during that time of repentance, one of the Israelite men, he came and he took a Moabite woman and he took her into a tent in front of all the other Israelites, and he went to have relations with her in this tent. And this man named Phinehas, who was a Levite, who was the grandson of the high priest Aaron, full of zeal, he went into that tent with a spear in his hand, and he took that spear and he plunged it through the couple. And God was pleased with what Phinehas had done. Why? Because Phinehas was jealous for God. And he made atonement for the sons of Israel. And because God was so pleased with what Phinehas had done, he instituted a special covenant of peace with him and his descendants. And they also gave him a covenant of perpetual priesthood. So what's the point of that? The point of these two examples is this, is that God is looking for leaders who are courageous enough to take a stand for what is holy and what is right. In other words, we need leaders who are not afraid to take a stand. Right? We need politicians that will stop catering to the special interests, right? And who are courageous enough to take a stand. Right? We need moms and dads who are courageous enough to take a stand in their homes. Right? Teachers who are courageous enough to take a stand in their schools. Pastors who are courageous enough to take a stand in their churches. Managers who are courageous enough to take a stand in their businesses and in their factories. See, here's the truth. God requires leaders to take a stand. So leaders must always have the courage to do the right thing. Far too often, far too many times, we just let things go by the wayside. Why? Because we don't want to fight the system, right? We don't want to stir the pots. And so we just let things go. But listen, as leaders, right, as a person who has been given influence, you don't have the option just to let things go. See, God requires you to do the right thing. God requires you to right the things that are wrong in this world. See, because here's the reality. If you don't do it, who will? Right? If you don't step up, who is going to do it? I believe this, that if every Christian would grab a hold of this principle, man, it would change our nation. It would turn around our nation. Right? If every mom and dad would grab a hold of this principle, it would change our households. It would transform our lives. If we would grab a hold of that. Second requirement of this is God requires leaders to instruct. Notice verse 7. God tells people that the leader's mouth should preserve knowledge and that from his mouth we should receive instruction. In other words, we should know enough about the Bible to instruct other people. See, but the problem we have is that many Christians, even ones who have been in church a long time, don't have enough Bible knowledge. They don't have enough knowledge of God's word to be able to instruct people. Right, we might know a few Bible stories here and there. Oh, we could tell them about Daniel and the lion. But we really don't have the wisdom to be able to defend and share and preserve God's word. See, Proverbs, it talks about wisdom is like a woman who is crying out in the streets. See, wisdom is the immersion of our mind and our spirit in God's word. That God gives you influence to instruct others. Right? The Apostle Paul said that each one of us should be prepared to defend our faith. Sorry, that was the Apostle Peter tells us that we should be able to defend our faith. See, notice this, that God tells the leaders that they are his messengers. So whether you know it or not, you are God's messenger. You are God's messenger at your job. You are God's messenger in your home. You are God's messenger around your family. You are God's messenger around your friends. You are God's messenger at your school. You are God's messenger when you're out of the grocery store buying some groceries. You're even God's messenger when you're out doing stuff with your friends that you know you shouldn't be doing. You are God's messenger. You are His mouthpiece. Right? You are His voice, and you are His means in which He has used to speak to this world. That God's not yelling down from a cloud, this one needs to be done. No, God uses you. You are God's mouthpiece to speak to this world. If that's true, then you better have an idea of what to say. Third thing is this, is that God requires leaders to be full of integrity, right? Integrity means soundness. Integrity means wholeness. It means that there's no duplicity in our lives, right? There's no duplicity in our characters. It means the way I am in the public is the same way I am in the private. It means that I'm ethical in my business dealings. It means that we stick to our word. Means that we say that who we are, means that who we are, who we say we are, is true even when no one else is looking at us. And this is important. Why? Because we have an integrity crisis in our leadership today. People ask me if I'm Democrat or Republican. I tell them neither. You know why? Because they're all corrupt in my mind. I wish they weren't. I wish you could trust some of them. But history tells us that, you know, not always true. Fourth, God requires leaders to walk with Him. Right? And to walk with Him means that we have intimacy with Him. Right? Doesn't mean that we just show up on Sundays and that's our week's worth of God. Right? No, intimacy means that we have a daily walk with Him. Right, so every day walking with Him, spending time with Him. Right, we have that daily walk, just like Noah had that daily walk with God, and Enoch walked with God daily, right? And Moses walked with God daily. That's God's expectation for us, that we would walk with Him daily. And finally, God requires leaders to turn others from sin. In other words, leaders don't wink at sin. Neither in their own lives or in the lives of those with whom they influence. See, God expects leaders to turn others away from their sins. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be some mean-spirited spiritual police. It simply means that we understand that the root problem of this world is not some socioeconomic issue, right? The root problem of this world is not some low self-esteem issue. No, the root problem in this world is sin. You understand that? That's the problem in this world. The problem in this world is sin. The good news is that we have the answer to sin, and His name is Jesus Christ. Right? We have the answer, and God expects us to share it. You might say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's good, because no one has the gift of evangelism. You know why? Because it's not a gift, right? God calls each and every one of us to share the love, the mercy, and the saving grace that only comes in and through Jesus Christ. We are all called to share the love of Jesus. Amen. That leads us to our second principle this morning. And that's this. If we're going to honor God with our leadership, we must understand the consequences of poor leadership. That there are consequences to our poor leadership. Let me make sure we are clear on this fact. That God takes leadership seriously, and therefore we need to take it seriously also. In other words, leadership has consequences. Right? What we say before, leadership is stewardship, and we are all held accountable. Let me tell you why God takes leadership so seriously. It's because He's chosen to advance His kingdom through leadership. He uses leaders to fulfill His agenda. Therefore, when leaders don't fulfill His agenda, His work suffers harm. we don't fulfill His agenda, then His work suffers. And in turn, He doesn't receive the glory and the honor for which He deserves. Wait, when the leaders of Israel were such poor leaders, when they showed such poor leadership, what did God do? He unleashed a stinging rebuke on them. And then He proceeded to pronounce His punishments upon them. And here's a couple points we can glean from that punishment. Number one, that poor leadership is cursed. See, God warned the priests that if they didn't set their hearts to honor Him and do what He wanted them to do, that He would curse them and He would curse their blessings. Right? There's a spiritual law called the law of sowing and reaping that I believe is being referred to here. Right? When you look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, we see this law that says, whatever you sow, you will reap. Right, if you sow disobedience, if you sow rebellion, what happens? You will reap destruction. In other words, the decisions you make today will impact your life in the weeks and months and sometimes even the years to come. So what does that tell us? That we better make sure that we are living in obedience to God. Number two, poor leadership brings humiliation. See, God tells the leaders of the people, that if they don't honor Him, that He will smear the dung of the animal sacrifices on their faces, and they will be despised, and they will be humiliated. Right? How many times have we seen a prominent leader fall, and we see him go through all the shame, and all the humiliation, and all the embarrassment, and all the stuff he faces in the media, and all the stuff he faces around their friends? See, we must always be careful to live lives of integrity. Why? So one, number one, that so we don't humiliate ourselves. And number two, so we don't humiliate Christ and the church. Right? One of the biggest struggles, right? One of the biggest problems we have in the spreading of Christianity is when a Christian leader falls. Listen, when a Christian leader falls, it never happens just in a moment. No, it's always, you see, the act of sin is always a series of many, many, many poor decisions. And it's a constant, repeatedly dismissal of the Holy Spirit's conviction in one's life. See, nothing happens in a vacuum. You never slip up once. No, it's always a slow, gradual decrease. Right? You never just step off the cliff. You always come and you see how close you can get. Can I get this close? Can I get this close? Until eventually you fall. It's always a series of little poor decisions. That's why I always make the point to pray Jude 24. Right, to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Right, that's a prayer we should all be praying every day. To Him who is able to keep us from falling. Lord, keep us from falling. Keep us from stumbling. Number three, poor leadership affects the generations to come. See, God tells leaders that if they do not honor Him, that He will rebuke their descendants. See, not only will they be cursed, but their sons and their daughters and their grandchildren and the posterity to come will be cursed as well. So you need to understand that you have influence not only over your peers, but you have influence over your children and over your grandchildren and over future generations. Listen, if you allow God to influence you, right, if you allow God to wield His influence on you, right, for good and for honor. Right? If you honor Him, then what does the Bible say? That your descendants will be honored and they will be blessed. But if you do not, not only will you be cursed, but the Bible says that generations to come will be cursed as well. That's a high, high price to pay. So think about that. Every time you're tempted to lead poorly, every time you're tempted to disobey God, remember this, that's not only you that's suffering, but it's all those around you who will suffer as well. Yes, anybody who has been addicted to anything, and they'll tell you right away, well, it's just not me that's suffering. No, my whole family suffers because of my addiction. Keeps going. That brings us to our final principle today. And that's this, that if we are going to honor God with our leadership, then we must understand how to refocus our leadership. Right, verse 2, God tells the leaders that if they're going to honor him, they have to learn to refocus their leadership efforts. And he tells them, and in turn, he tells us two ways that we must refocus our leadership. Number one, we simply refocus our leadership by simply listening. We refocus our leadership by simply listening. See, the truth is that we can't listen to God if we never spend any time with him. We can't listen to God if we never spend any time with him. Right? This is why we always tell you, man, it is vitally important that you're spending time with God on a regular basis. Why? Because if you don't have a specific time for prayer and reflection, understand this, that you cannot hear God. Right? The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that one of the struggles they had is that there were too many voices that were vying for their attention. Listen, what is prayer? It's simply communication with God. And understand this, that communication involves listening as well as speaking. In other words, we cannot rush it. See, this is what we do with a prayer. Well, I have a meaningful prayer life. Well, I get down, I say, dear Lord, bless this. Lord, answer this prayer need, answer this prayer need, answer this concern. Oh, Lord, we love you. Amen. And we go about our business for the day. Oh, I prayed. I got my 10 minutes, my 15 minutes, my 20 minutes. I went down my whole list. Listen, understand this, that true prayer happens, number one, when we talk to God. Number two, when we ask God to speak to us. And number three, when we stop and we wait for God to answer. True prayer doesn't happen unless, number one, we speak to God. Number two, we ask him to speak to us. And number three, we actually wait for the answer. So we have to wait for God to speak. Right, your prayer life is a relationship with God. Right, it is a two-way conversation with God. Right, how often do you ask your spouse a question and then walk away before they answer? Right, hopefully never. Why? Because in a healthy relationship, that stuff doesn't occur. Right, in a healthy relationship, it is a two-way conversation. Hey, babe, how was your day today? Oh, well, you know, it was a struggle. Oh, we did this. Oh, really? Why was that? Oh, well, we had this going on. Oh, that's too bad. Let me tell you about my day. Awesome. You did this? Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. Great. Right, it's a two-way conversation back and forth. Understand this, if you're going to have a conversation with God, you've got to be willing to take the time to listen to God. Stop being in a hurry. Stop worrying about getting to your list. Hope and prayer, Lord, I love you. Speak to me. Lord, I need you today. Speak to me. Sometimes when I'm praying, this is what I'm doing. Getting awkward yet? Right? Sometimes that's what it is. Well, we're such a fast-moving, fast-food-driven society, we can't slow down long enough to hear God. Secondly, we need to refocus our leadership by fixing our hearts on Jesus. See, God tells the priest to set their hearts to honor him. Listen, God is dishonored when our hearts yearn for something more than they yearn for him. When our hearts yearn for other things more than our hearts yearn for him. Understand this, that God is jealous for our attention. Right? He is jealous for our affections. He wants to be number one in our affections. Right? He wants to be number one in our emotions. Right? He wants to be number one in our priorities, period. God does not want to be second fiddle. He's not saying those other things can't happen, but he's just saying, hey, why don't you put me first? See, the priests served God with their hands, but their hearts were far from him. Right? Their hearts were not fixed on him at all. And you see, here's the truth bomb. That when your heart is not in something, you won't do it passionately. I know, shocker, right? Right? When your heart isn't in something, you're not going to do it passionately. Right? When your heart isn't in ministry, you're not going to do it with very much passion. You're just going to try to get by. Well, I just got to do my duty for today because I signed up and it's my time to do something. But listen, that's not the way you honor God, right? We honor God when we fix our hearts on Him totally and completely. So here's today's message in a nutshell. That you're a leader because you have influence. Every person in this room is a leader. Don't think you get to escape the leadership clause today because you don't. Every person in this room today is a leader. Why? Because you have influence today. Understand this, that you will be judged according to how you wield the influence that God has given you. You will be judged by according to how you wield the influence that God has given you. Right? The question is this, is will you seek to honor God according to His will and according to His desire? Or will you reject His warning and will you stubbornly just continue down your own path? See, God gives you that choice today. He gives each and every one of us that choice today and every day. Will we choose to honor God or will we continue down our own path? When we know something's not right at work, will we just ignore it or will we say something? When that little pitter-patter happens inside, the Holy Spirit says, hey, see the person's upset, why don't you share a little bit about what Jesus did in your life? And you think, I should, but nah. Will you choose to follow God or will you just stubbornly go about your own way because, well, you know, I might be embarrassed, or I might be ashamed, or I might not say the right thing. So He wants you to be glorified. He wants to be glorified in your leadership. He wants you to use your platform to influence others in godly ways that bring Him the glory and the honor that He deserves. Listen, leadership is stewardship, and you are accountable to God. Amen? Let's pray together this morning. Father, we love you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our feet. God, it directs our path. God shows us the right way to go. Lord, as we're speaking on leadership this morning, Lord, we realize that each and every one of us holds influence over somebody. Lord, let us be your godly example this morning. Lord, to lead others in a godly direction towards you. Lord, I pray for those who have maybe been weak in this area. Lord, that you would cause them to step up this morning. God, those who have been weak in your word, that you cause us to dive into your word. God, those who have been weak in your discipleship process, that you would cause us to be stronger in the discipleship process. Lord, we want to be people of influence. Lord, we want to direct our homes in the way they should go. Lord, we want to direct our churches in the way they should go. Lord, we want to direct our family in the way they should go. God, give us boldness and strength this morning, Lord, and be with each and every one. Lord, I pray your blessings and your anointing on every person here. God, let us leave here changed today. Lord, let us leave here different, chasing after you, knowing more about you. Father, we love you and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, so much for everything you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, I love you all so much. Hey, let me give you a pro tip. This is a great way to become a better leader. Sign up for Right Now Media. You'll get all of the help you need, I promise. If you need more information, if you have some questions, please feel free to ask me, ask one of our other pastoral staff or leaders in the church. We want to help you grow in all